Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It is us doing one of these audio trailer, little things that we like to do from time to time. It's Neil Atkinson with John Gibbons. And I want to talk to you about interviewing Jordan Henderson, which is first and foremost a bit of a laugh to get the opportunity to do that. But also, secondly, John, I thought it was interesting how you approached it to talk about different figures who've led through moments of his life. He's such a generous personality, Jordan. I could see you were almost at times the Dom King line about sort of getting him to talk about himself is one of the toughest things. But he is very generous in his praise of others.
He is, yeah. And I think, you know, that comes from a place of him genuinely believing that, you know, there's been a few sliding doors moments in his career. And, you know, he talks in the book about, you know, about one lad in particular who he went to school with, and them two were the best in school. But, you know, it was a bit of talk of, well, the other lad's definitely going to make it, and Jordan might, was the sort of general thing. And... you know, this lad now plays semi-pro somewhere in the Northeast, and obviously Jordan Henderson's Jordan Henderson. And so, you know, it's one of those sort of things, really, where I think he feels that, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, certain moments of luck, or people backing him in certain ways, or people believing in him, or in his dad's case, you know, sacrifice and everything else, that he sort of wouldn't be where he is now. So I think he's overly harsh on himself, generally. It's mad that he wanted to call the book With or Without Me, to reflect their Liverpool success. I'm glad he was talked out of that one, because it started on a downer for the kickoff. But I think he's been, when I say instrumental, that makes it sound like, you know, he's sort of driven it. And I think it's the truth is somewhere between the two. You know, when you want to point to why Liverpool's been so successful, I think, you know, aside from maybe Jürgen, he's a bigger part of it as anyone else, really. And I'd like him to see himself like that. But it's interesting that he sort of doesn't. But sort of within that, really, I did want to talk about, okay, well, who are these key people who you feel in your life have made a difference to you?
In the conversation you have with them, you know, you can sort of guess a couple of them, you know, obviously, really. You've got his dad, you've got Kenny, brings him to Liverpool, and is Kenny. Jürgen, obviously, in there. The Brendan Rodgers one's, for me, in lots of ways, the most interesting. How sort of generous he is with praise towards Brendan, and how quickly generous, you know, he makes the point himself when you're talking to him, and I know it comes through in the book, but this idea that there was a bit of an eagerness to move him out of Liverpool, whether that was coming from above Brendan or from Brendan himself. But the speed with which it then becomes, well, them and Brendan working together to make Jordan the best possible version of Jordan.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, you know, it's simultaneously in the way so many things are, because Brendan is the nature of the character he is, and he's quite a divisive figure. Like, it's almost the best and worst of Brendan. It was almost one of the worst decisions he could ever have made. And then the aftermath of it is almost some of the best coaching he's ever done, if you know what I mean. And that's the constant dichotomy of Rodgers. I was just sort of left when I was listening to that bit thinking, my God, Brendan's such a weird, complicated person.
He is, but one thing that comes across is that he often gets accused of being full of shit. Brendan, like, he's a good talker, but he's, you know, he's a bullshitter, basically. And one thing that comes across when you speak to Jordan and also the book is, in this particular instance, it couldn't be further from the truth. He's very straight with him. He explains the situation. He says how it is. What's interesting to me is that there was all those rumours that, basically someone, I mean, let's say a Perslow, gave him a list and said, do you want to sell these players? And Henderson was on there, and Lucas was on there, and obviously those two in particular end up very much winning him over. Now, I don't know how true that is, but Jordan sort of confirms in the conversation that he feels that it was other people who were in Brendan's ear saying, like, these lads aren't up for it. And so he doesn't sort of hold it against Brendan, because he's like, well, people were telling him that this lad's, you know, not sort of got what it took, and maybe he was sort of a bit led for that, really. But regardless of that, I think what really comes across in the Rodgers bit, and I think it's the most interesting bit in the book, obviously there's other bits that are more fun to read in a way, because it's Champions League wins and stuff like that, but I think it's the most interesting section of the book is the Rodgers one for me. And I think what really comes across is that Rodgers, you know, does everything that he says he's going to do with Brendan. He says, basically, if you want to leave, this option's available, but if you stay, I'll work with you and I'll make you a better player. And he does. And I think as well that there may have been managers in the past who, you know, might have said, you know, if you're here, you're not going to play, or blah, 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 and made a decision. And obviously Rodgers wasn't at that place yet with him, so it's slightly different. But I think, you know, giving him the out, if you like, of, well, if you do decide to stay, I've got a pretty good idea of how I can improve you. And then he does that. But then in a very Jordan Henderson way, Jordan Henderson does loads of work on his own. So he's not just waiting for his turn with the analyst. He's going to see him and doing all the bits with him. So it's a nice summary of him, really. Like, there's a sliding doors moment. He could go to Fulham, he doesn't. But also, you know, he makes his own look in that he's like, well, I'm going to do everything I can now to listen to these people and to improve as a player and to prove people wrong, which he fucking loves doing, and to get back in this team and useful. And Rodgers is completely open-minded to it, which is credit to him. He's like, well, I might have been happy to sell you in the summer, but if you show me all this stuff that I want to see, I'll pick you. And that Europa League run, it does wonders for him.
I remember the games.
Yeah, it does wonders for him, because he's getting better and better all the time. He's getting more confidence all the time. And then he's in the pitch and he ends Brendan Rodgers as captain, which is just mad.
Should we play a clip?
Yeah. On to Brendan then. And it's a funny time for you with Brendan, really. And you document it all in the book. And, you know, it starts, you know, quite early on, really, with him saying, listen, there's an offer in from Fulham. And, you know, we wouldn't stand on your way. Do you fancy it? And then it finishes you with club captain, which is, you know, it's quite the sort of rise, really. But what I took from the book was, you know, I thought when we got to the Brendan bit, I thought, oh, maybe with time, you know, he's learned to maybe appreciate Brendan even more. But actually, it's quite quickly, isn't it, that it goes from that meeting in Hope Street Hotel to a lot of mutual respect is it, you know, it doesn't need reflection. It's there sort of almost a year on.
Yeah, I still had a lot of respect for Brendan at the time, because he'd just come in as manager and he hadn't really seen his train or player prop anywhere, like, firsthand, really. So I felt as though, obviously, it was more of a club maybe decision, or maybe he was under a little bit of pressure to try and get a player in or whatever it may have been. So I still had a lot of respect for Brendan, and even the way he handled it in terms of seeing if I did end up staying, he would help us progress and improve as a player. So yeah, I was still mad at the time, probably. But yeah, he helped us from that period understand the game differently and look at different things and how I can improve. And he was a massive influence on me improving as a player.
Yeah, He promises you that day that he says, if you do stay, I'll work on everything that I feel like you need to. And he kept that promise, didn't he? But obviously you did a huge amount of work yourself as well, you know, with analysts, and you talk about that and really sort of looking at that game and thinking, well, how am I going to get the top?
Yeah, he mentioned stuff that he wanted us to be doing, especially as a midfielder. So he would bring us in and show us on the laptop and stuff, and I'd go away with Chris Davies, who's now his assistant, who was an analyst at the time at the club. I'd go through clips from the games that I would play and work on what Brendan wanted us to do better and what I could improve on. And again, that really changed my focus on football and how how it was really cleared in the way that he wanted, really, and get his message across really helped us, and helped us improve a lot very quickly, really. I'd say for the first 4 or 5 months, probably, I wasn't playing that much, playing maybe cup games, Europa League games and things like that, and waiting for my chance. But then after that, I started to play Premier League, and that's really when I started to get more confidence and improve as a player.
The day you made captain, then captain of Liverpool Football Club, I mean, you're smiling already. What an honour to sort of get that, to get it after sort of Stevie as well. You know, can you describe to us sort of that feeling for those of us who'll never have it?
Yeah, I think, again, it was an amazing feeling to be asked to captain Liverpool. I think being the vice-captain helped us a little bit as well, because I was vice-captain under Stevie for, I think, his last year, and that really helped just starting to get used to it a little bit and the pressure that would be on the captain. Because when Stevie was injured, I wasn't playing, I would step in as captain in that game, and you'd sort of get a feel for it. So I think that really helped us for when then I did step in to actually become captain. I think I also in the book speak about, even though I was really proud and it was a big thing for me, I knew how the outside would perceive it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it probably wouldn't be the same. So I tried to do everything low-key, or as low-key as possible, and just sort of crack on. And I knew people would be sort of saying, like, Gerard, and then it's coming to me, and comparing us with Stevie and things like that, which I didn't really want, for obvious reasons. So I knew it would come with a lot of scrutiny, I knew it would come with a lot of pressure, but deep inside of us, I really felt as though I was the right person to lead the team, to help in a different way to what Stevie did. And ever since I got asked, I've tried to do my best always for my teammates, always put them first and try to help them as much as possible.
That was Jordan Henderson talking to John Gibbons about his book, very well organised for you by Penguin.
Yeah, it's a funny story, actually. I think, you know, people might, you know, not always know or understand sort of where interviews come from, and they come from very different places, and sometimes it's us sort of pestering the press office at Liverpool for stuff. Sometimes, obviously, when we're away, normally things are a bit easier to arrange then when we're on the summer tours and stuff like that. But generally, in the season, you know, we don't get anything really, and we're sort of, you know, fine with that relatively, because you know, we want the players cracking on and winning games. Yep. And stuff like that. But obviously with Henderson having a book out, it's a slightly different situation. And so I've got a friend called Gillian McAllister, who's a Sunday Times best-selling fiction writer, and she's from Birmingham, and, well, she lives in Birmingham, and she was doing an event in Waterstones, and she asked me to host it because I think I'm the only person she knows in Liverpool. Well, apart from Neil, but he was busy. and so she said, "Will you come and host this thing?" And I was like, "Yes, sound." So I was just speaking to her. So we were like, I was going to say backstage. We were in a basic utility room in Waterstones.
Yeah, to be crystal clear, you were in a cupboard. That's where you were. You were in a
Have
cupboard.
You been in?
Yeah, I know the cupboard in question.
Yeah, yeah. There's some booze that you're not offered in there. But one day I'm just going to ask for. But yeah, I was in the cupboard in Waterstones, behind the tills. I'd just sort of talking to this nice lady from Penguin, and she said, "Oh, by the way, we're doing Jordan Henderson's book." And I said, "Oh, are you now?" Oh, that's good to know. And bearing in mind, I was giving my time up for free to I mean, I would have done it for Jilly, obviously, but for, you know, you don't get paid to sort of host these things. You just do sort of do them to be nice. And so I was like, well, let's stay in touch, and we'd love to get something from that. So he's not done loads. He did do us, and I appreciated that. But yeah, it was a bit of a chance sort of encounter in a cupboard in Waterstones with someone from Penguin that led to this interview. So of all the weird and wonderful ways we've got interviews with footballers, this is kind of like, yeah,
it's up there, isn't it?
Up there, yeah. So the latest one.
So there you are. You can hear the whole thing if you subscribe to the Anfield Rap, download the app, and you can use the tokens as they come. If you want to download to the Anfield Rap, there's a number of ways to do it. You can do it through the app. Current climate, because there's the odd minor glitch in that process. It's better if you go to our website. So if you go to theanfieldrap.com/subscribe, it should be a cleaner process. And then you can listen and enjoy on the app, and you can listen and enjoy everything else that we've got. We've got some fantastic stuff coming up as well during the World Cup break. We're excited about that. But thank you very much to John. Thank you to Jordan. Thank you to Jilly. And thank you to the good people of Mr. and Mrs. Penguin. They are amongst my favourites of the mammals. Sports Social Podcast Network.